What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
I'm Inc. Executive Editor Diana Ransom.
And I'm Editor-at-Large Christine Ligorio-Chafkin.
And you're listening to From the Ground Up. Today's episode, Cracking TikTok, Part 2, How We Got Here. Last week, we heard from a group of founders who incorporate social media into their everyday business operations.
Yes, we heard about how peeling fruit helped Zoya Biglari appeal to her audience as a business owner, and why Mari Llewellyn thinks it's really important to hire young people.
So this week, we're going to follow that up by talking to one of the veterans in the space. Shira Lazar has been an on-air host, social media personality, and digital content producer for more than two decades. That led her to launching What's Trending and The Piece Inside Live.
Diana, you had a chat with her at South by Southwest. What was it like sitting down and talking?
It was great. We both go way back and we covered a lot of ground. When she was first starting up, influencers, quote unquote, wasn't even a thing yet. She described her live interactive show as a digital social media water cooler conversation. And since she was a pioneer in the digital creator economy, she said, while it was exciting, it also felt questionable because nobody else was there.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I'm excited to hear it.
Okay, we kicked it off with me calling her by an affectionate nickname.
You were Hurricane Shira when Hurricane Shira came through.
Wow, that's what I'm known for.
Yes, but it was in a very loving way. We referred to you as Hurricane Shira. Your show was crazy popular. I actually remember pumping gas, and I could hear your voice. Like your show was literally playing as I was pumping gas at the gas station. Like, Shira, you've had a marvelous run.
I appreciate that. We're still on gas station TV, actually. GSTV out of home is now the next thing. Who knew? We were very early to that, too.
Very cool. So, I mean, tell me about the whirlwind. How'd you get started?
Yeah, we started What's Trending in 2011, which is wild because I've owned a media company for over a decade, practically self-funded or funded through the platforms we're on. You can imagine what that's like, even reading the news.
God help you.
We started as a show. We were one of the first live interactive shows covering digital culture, the creator economy. It wasn't even called that. Influencers, like all of that wasn't really called that then.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the digital social media water cooler conversation.
Pop culture.
Yeah, and I like to say it was a show for the internet people by the internet people about the stories emerging from social and with the faces and voices behind it. Because
But back then, nobody like sort of cared about the web.
Yeah.
People thought it was like, yeah, that's cute.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cute. And for me, this was the future of how we would report on the news. Mm-hmm. Now we know that. It's what we all do. But that's not necessarily where people would discover their news or curate the news. And so we were creating a show around that. That's what made it all so unique, is that a lot of people were blogging about this and writing articles about it, but no one was actually creating video around it. And so in many ways, we were one of the first talk shows around digital culture and the internet. And we were also quality live streaming, which also made it different because I think you had this perception of the internet that was very lo-fi, low quality. Mm-hmm. And we wanted it to be big. We wanted it to be splashy. We had a jib. We had a multi-cam, you know.
Yeah, you had a proper setup. It was good.
We had a whole
good
studio. And it's funny because that worked for us and against us. And for us in that, brands took us more seriously. And I would say also creators and talent took us more seriously. We had everyone from Will.i.am and Common and Mark Cuban and Snoop to YouTube stars like Lily Singh and Smosh.
Right.
All these people you might know or might not know. And they loved it because they were already on the internet. They didn't want another video that made them look like more internet people. They wanted video coverage that made them look like stars. And we provided that. At the same time, we bridged that gap between traditional media and the new media world as these celebrities were coming in saying, the smart ones saying, I think there's something here that we should be paying attention to.
Well, so how did you know way back then that social media and that video would be so big?
I don't even think I didn't know. No. Hindsight is 2020, mm-hmm. right? I think now, as it's been over a decade of What's Trending, but two decades of being in digital media, I now see patterns, right? I now see when things popped and I took paid attention or took notice to it. And then you could start repeating that in a way as time goes on. And so at the time for me, it was about, I didn't have a choice. I loved video. I loved hosting. I loved interviewing. And I wasn't getting the jobs. I wasn't getting a job at MTV or E! And I found the opportunities in the digital realm. I just happened to be, it was a bit right place, right time, and curious enough and enthusiastic enough, and maybe a bit crazy enough. Because a lot of times I was working with startup founders and internet people in this new wild, wild west. And in many ways, I had to be a self-starter. And I also had to deal with a lot of them. A lot of these were, let's be real, like bros on the internet. And I was a lot of times the only woman around, but I stood my ground and I did what I got to do. And that's how I learned. It was my school in many ways. And so for me, that it came from the lack of choice and the such a desire and hunger to do what I love doing. And then I started seeing little things pop, right? I picked up my phone because I was doing red carpet online videos at the time for like Hollywood.com and Verizon and all these places. And they said, oh, this is so boring. This is just traditional red carpet interviews. Let's spice it up. Like, let's make this more edgy. And for me, I said, well, you know what's really interesting? What happens in between when the cameras are rolling? Like, what if there was a way to get a bit more intimate with it? And so I thought, wouldn't it be cool to almost post the outtakes? And how could I do that? And that was my, I would say, the curiosity in me figuring out a solution.
But did those end up sort of doing well?
Well, so this is what happened. I found the phone at the time, the Nokia N95. And I found out this phone could upload to the internet. Ooh, really?
Really, it's so industrious. Funny. All these things that we're talking about, yes, feel like sound so quaint. It's like,
no.
Did you know that we could write things and then it would go online and you could read it from wherever you were in the world?
Exactly. And now it sounds weird that I'm saying this, but at the time it was really crazy, right? And so I got this phone and I would just be doing videos on the red carpet. Hey, we're here. Oh my God. As you see, I was showing people the real. Like, as you see, I'm at the end of the line. No one's talking to me until someone does. But these were things that weren't being shared at the time. And I was uploading it through whatever mechanism at the time. Now we know that as the modern vlogger. I mean, that's what people do on the carpet with their little mini microphones now, you know? And so I started doing that, and it's not that I started seeing it being overly popular, but I started seeing people taking interest. And then Nokia hired me for the Webby Connect Summit. The Webby Awards had an event. And that's when also I saw, it was just like that little motion forward. When you're in new spaces and it feels exciting, but then feels questionable because you're like, is this really the right place to be? Like, no one's here. And it kind of feels weird.
Yeah.
But then anytime—
You're a pioneer.
Yes, it's pioneering. But every time you have someone say yes or a little opportunity, I feel like you need to take those wins and move forward. And that proves to you, like, there's something here. It's a hint that there's something here. And I kept getting those signs to move forward from going to the Webby Awards event and starting to do this professionally. I was just doing it for fun. Oh, Nokia's hiring me to do this now. Wow, there must be something here. And then pitching that to news networks and getting hired by CBS News to do it. And then starting to see blogs cover viral videos, but no one doing it on video. And at that point, it was about not just the curiosity and finding the solutions, but finding what some other people weren't doing.
Right.
Right? It's like finding the blank spaces.
But it just seems so obvious now. It's kind of wild.
It does. It does seem obvious, but it's not obvious when you're in it.
It's not obvious at the time.
Or at any time, point in time, when we're so focused and in many ways distracted by not just what's working, but what we're attached to. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea, and this is where some personal growth comes into it, is looking at the things happening in your life or your business or your industry and saying, okay, this may be fine now, even though nothing really seems fine right now in every industry. But what is there out here that I'm not seeing, right? Can I go outside of myself, outside of my bubble? And part of that requires an openness, right? And part of that requires a bit of letting go and adventure. And also being humble, mm-hmm, saying, I have this experience, but I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to dive into a new space. And having some excitement about it.
Yeah, I think that's hard for people.
Yes.
So you're uniquely gifted in that regard, I think.
But then, and then when you get there, it's saying not letting yourself go back to say, oh, this is weird. And like, there's still some uncertainty here. Mm-hmm. How do you balance between your one foot in, you know, your current slash maybe old life and this new thing? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, for me, it's about jumping in, but you have to be aware of your responsibilities and what you're doing. Yeah. There's a way, that's why I always say it's about bridging that gap.
Okay. You were talking before about sort of noticing the patterns and realizing that you could spot the patterns yeah. now. Is this what sort of led you to like Web3 and yeah. NFTs?
Yeah. Well, in many ways, I felt like What's Trending, and many people would tell me, you know, What's Trending maybe was a one-off. You know, you were lucky, right place, right time. And that's very true. And then when the Web3 stuff started bubbling, one, I noticed the people that I'd been in my previous digital media world with, the Web2 world, as they call it. I noticed some of them going into this space, Gary Vaynerchuk, Alexis Ohanian, Randy Zuckerberg, and more. And so, of course, you need to pay attention to that, right? For crypto, because I was never into finance necessarily, the number thing didn't turn me on, mm-hmm. right? I didn't get it. It overwhelmed me. I'm one of those people that likes to invest or put money in and like just not look at it. Whereas then, yeah, art was. I loved art. I love creatives. I love creators. And so the Web3 space ended up becoming that for me. And then I did notice a bit of that energy that I'd seen previously in the YouTube space there and the community building that really was interesting and exciting. And so, yeah, that's where I found myself there. And then when I saw the results, or as I saw people being responsive to what I was doing, there was a bit of that, wow, oh, I'm doing it again. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, you became this leading female voice.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was right place, right time, and then my previous experience and it making sense for what this space needed.
You also are a very good communicator. You're very good at sort of boiling down complex subjects for people in ways that they can actually understand.
I try to, but partially it's because I'm trying to figure it out. So partially because I think I like to simplify it for my own knowledge and mm-hmm. brain. Mm-hmm. That allows me to do it for someone else. And then coming out of, you know, the hype around Web3, and it's still around, by the way, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still there. Blockchain tech isn't going anywhere.
The balloon sort of yes. got a little bit smaller though, right?
Like, exactly. Yeah. But then, of course, then that makes the industry, you could say, in a way more sustainable because the people that care about it will be there versus the people that aren't. And then, of course, everyone's eyes are on AI now. What I then realized at this point in my constant evolving like Madonna is, or Cat Lives, as I like to call it, is that, okay, now I'm interested in this. Well, okay, now I'm feeling like a bit multiple personalities. I feel everywhere. But then the common theme to me was emerging tech. Right. And I joke around like I'm not a futurist in a way, but I am. But I'm a futurist that likes to live in the present moment.
You're like you're leading edge.
Yeah.
You're like one of the early adopters. You're
yes.
one of the OG YouTubers. You're leading edge.
And specifically around things that impact culture mm-hmm. and media. And then I would say, as I've gotten older, really caring about mental health and well-being and gender equity and human rights, like, these are things that I really care about and that I try to at least integrate it into these spaces I'm in because they're new industries that can be molded and mm-hmm. shaped. Mm-hmm. So we should be talking about those
right,
things too.
Right, right. Yeah. And this is the opportunity to do
yeah,
that,
exactly,
to shape
yeah.
those things now.
Yeah.
So you've also built a personal brand beyond the brands that you have founded. So there's What's Trending and Inside.
Peace Inside.
Peace Inside
Live. Yeah.
Peace Inside Live. So how did you do that? And why?
Yeah, Peace Inside came out of the pandemic in 2020. So because of my work and What's Trending and the ups and downs I was experiencing, and I was going through my own little existential crisis and also mental health journey, I ended up going to Everest Base Camp on this really epic trip with a friend of mine who curates retreats there in the Himalayas. And from that, we actually started talking about co-creating and because I'd been doing a lot in pop culture mm-hmm. and I was having these really beautiful conversations about personal growth. And I wondered if I could bring that to my social media. I wasn't going to bring that to What's Trending necessarily. even though I could, you know, what's trending in wellness, hey, you know. But it was more of my personal story and perspective. And so when we came back from that trip, me and her, now my co-founder and friend Jordana Rehm, we started doing this series called The Weekly Mind Shift, bring up these topics that we thought were interesting and talk about them. And from there, that's when I really started putting myself out there, I feel like, in a more vulnerable way of like, here's me, here's Shira, here's not what's trending, Shira, that you know, but like, these are the things I go through. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm thinking about. This is a conversation you might have with me if we're at a dinner table, right? Or at the cafe, not necessarily what you're just hiring me for. We ended up doing this virtual retreat because she couldn't do retreats anymore. And it went so well. And so from there we said, what if we did this daily? And within a month, we became like a virtual mindfulness studio. And at the time I had a full-time job. I was running What's Trending. I was on the radio. And we had facilitators from around the world with classes. We had thousands of people through our classes in 2020. And so it was really cool because for me, I finally got to lean into something I really cared about. And that was filling me up and bring it to others and also learn myself. I would drop into the classes and do some breath work or meditation. It helped me too in finding peace inside, literally and figuratively, during that time. And then we evolved into corporate wellness, and the brands I was working with on What's Trending, some of them, you know, I ended up bringing mindfulness to their teams. We did these customized programs for like Capital One and Spotify and Boys and Girls Club of America. And then we got, into the Web3 space, and now we have a journal. So yeah, I'm trying to bring this into the modern age. And now I'm trying to bring my worlds together in many ways.
Right. Well, we just had our last episode, we featured a bunch of TikTok entrepreneurs, and they were sort of all talking about how the key to sort of scaling their presence on the platforms was putting themselves out personally and being vulnerable. But I'd love to hear from your perspective what the pros and cons of doing that are.
I think for a lot of people, it probably is privacy, right?
Like a con, like the lack of privacy?
Oh, the lack of privacy, meaning some people will be fearful. I mean, sometimes when I'm on vacation or somewhere, I do debate putting my location or where I am or the fact that people might not know that I'm not at home. That sometimes gets scary, right? Vulnerability is scary. It's a muscle to work on. Part of it is what connects you to people, oddly enough, but yet we run away from it. So it is scary when I've had a bad day because then you think, oh, are people going to want to hire me? Is it going to make it seem like I'm off? Something's wrong with me.
Do you actually record yourself on a bad day?
Yeah, I've recorded myself crying before, which sounds weird because you're in the middle of crying. You're like, I'm going to record myself, you know? But sometimes I do it more to recognize this moment and what's happening and the fact that I will look back on it and I'll be in a different space. And then also to a bit of an interrupter of that moment, to interrupt it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we could be stuck in the craziness of that moment, and to recognize, okay, like, let's step outside of myself right now. I'm a human going through this. It's not me. And part of it is like, it's almost like looking yourself in the mirror while you're crying. And then you start saying, oh, I'm crying. Oh, look at me crying. Anyway.
But it's like, have you ever had this moment where you're at the beach and you're seeing this most beautiful sunset you've ever had in your life. Yeah. You're watching in my perspective, you're watching my kids play and it's adorable. And then you bring out the phone and it's like, let me capture this.
You know, what I try to do in those moments is I try to take the quick picture, the quick video, and then put it down. I think it is beautiful, actually, and really fun to look back at moments. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's hard to remember those moments, right?
Yeah, but if you're only experiencing them through the viewfinder, you're not experiencing them.
Totally, which is why sometimes
experience your grief. Like, you're crying. Yeah. Let yourself cry.
I mean, I don't do it all the time. But yes, no, I think that recently, for instance, and we're getting to some existential conversations. No, it's interesting. But, you know, I did it once, and I actually posted the video on Mental Health Awareness Day or something like that. And actually, my dad said, please take that down. I think it was uncomfortable for my parents to watch it, actually.
Oh.
Because they saw how in pain I was. And I said, well, this was a long time ago. I'm in a better place. That's why I was able to post it. He goes, okay, you posted it. Please take it down now. Right?
You've had your fun.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was important because, as we know, we see everyone's highlight reel and we don't see the real moments. But it is, even as someone watching someone else's real dark moment, it's awkward and hard, right? It can be hard to witness. But I think we get to we get to experience that because that is the human experience. And I do think that there's so much as a founder, as a content creator, as a woman I go through, it is the question of what is going to be valuable for me and others. Like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't read someone else's mind of like, will this help you? That's kind of also centering and narcissistic. Like, I'm hosting this because it's going to help people. I think for me, it's more about the exercise and practice of your own expression and truth. And the idea of like that changes over time. Mm-hmm. Who you are today is different than tomorrow. But I do think that's something beautiful in sharing really who you are in that
but
moment.
But is it for you or is it to help you connect with people?
It might be a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think partially I get ideas in my head and for me, I need to express it. I don't know where to put it. Some people put it on a canvas through art. Some people take photographs. Some people journal. I journal, you know, or write a book. For me, my canvas is video.
Yeah.
So for me, if I have an idea in my head or something that comes up, or I vent to my boyfriend, my therapist, that definitely happens, you know. But I will just turn on the camera. And there's, by the way, there's a lot that I have not posted, you know, but I'll just turn the camera just to process what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And it might lead to something that's an aha moment for me, or it might not. It might be just, okay, this will never see the light of day. But a lot of times I'll send it because I do have someone I work with that edits my videos and I'll send her just raw stuff and I'll say, what do you think is interesting here? Like what, I don't know. Like I feel I'm so in my experience, like I need some perspective. And in the future it'll be an AI. Hey, AI, what do you think is interesting? And she'll be like, wow, I really like this. And it helps.
Wouldn't it be funny if the AI is like, absolutely nothing?
Maybe. Oh, and then I'll be like, okay.
Harsh.
New AI, you are fired. But so that is the question as a creator. Do you create for yourself or do you create for others? I would like to think, you know, like my existence had a purpose on this planet. Maybe I made my mark in some way. That's what you hope, but, you know, and also in the pursuit of that, you want to make sure you're not losing your own experience in life.
Yeah.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful, growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Is anything off limits? Like, is everything fair game?
Well,
with this?
Yeah, I think that now that I'm in a relationship where that person doesn't necessarily want to be on camera all the time, I have to respect that. Mm-hmm. And also I've learned, there is a bit of this etiquette that I think we've learned over time. Some people maybe don't follow it, but where I will be in public spaces with colleagues or employees, friends, and I will have to say, hey, do you mind, I'm doing a video, do you mind if I put you on camera? And in the end, like, you need to respect that.
Yeah.
So I'm never gonna, and I have in the past just been that person that was flippant. Ah, you're, oh my God, we're, you know, everywhere. And it took a few moments of someone saying, no, please don't post that. Or when something was up, I don't feel comfortable with that being up. Right? So there are some limitations. If you're you and you're doing you, you could do whatever you want if there's other people involved. So there's definitely things I think that because of that with my relationship, I haven't necessarily posted that I thought would be interesting personally. I definitely think in the process of, you know, with my company or personally, when I'm going through some, I think darker moments or frustrations, there are definitely moments where I want to share what's happening. And I just think there are other people involved and this isn't going to be appropriate and they're going to know and it might impact the situation. And I try to respect that because I have done it where like I did an IG story like today I went through this, this and that. And two people that I worked with was like, we know it was about us.
Oh, burn.
Yeah. And I was like, well, it was, but it's not bad. I mean, we are going through stuff, but you have to realize it will impact those relationships. And if you're in professional settings, maybe people don't feel comfortable using them as like a reference in your videos that are partially entertainment.
Right. Very helpful.
Yeah. So that is something to keep in mind. That said, that's where the drafts come into play. Putting something in drafts, you're really annoyed and triggered. A lot of times I'll put that into drafts and then I'll look back at it and say, is that something I really want to put out in the world? Maybe, yeah, like maybe not. That's like my baby triggered Jira. That's not really who I am, my authentic self I want to share with people.
How long do you sort of let that sit?
I might just put it on drafts and forget about it.
Oh.
A lot of times that happens because guess what? It's like not, it's a trigger moment. Or I might do a video based on something that just happened. I got off of Zoom and I was like, that was weird. Why are people like this? And I'll video like, the weirdest situation just happened, you know? And then I just kind of forget about it. And then I might go back to it and say, oh, that was kind of cringy to not just personal, but referencing something too specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I might want to work with that person. That's not fair. Like, you know, it's you're putting everyone else's dirty laundry out there.
Understood.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe a tip. Some people don't care, to be honest, but I think that this is where like being a responsible digital citizen comes into play. Right? And just being aware that your actions have repercussions. If you're okay with those repercussions, then go ahead.
And do your own thing. But if it influences but if you are, else,
yeah, yeah, just I want to do the right thing that's ethical and moral. I haven't always been that way, and I haven't always done the right thing. Like, you know, looking back, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm trying my hardest to do the best I can.
Well, some founders have expressed, in the pages of Inc., for instance, have expressed dismay at the idea of having to, or feeling pushed to be out there personally. Like they're starting, you know, a brand or something like that. And investors are saying like, you know, you have to put yourself out there, and they don't necessarily want to, but they feel like obligated because for some reason, female founders are sort of more attached. Like people want to connect with female founders in a way that's more personally.
You say for, specifically for women?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It ends up being women in my experience, but
I feel like everyone,
maybe
we're in a
everyone.
Time, I think we're in a time where there's so much out there, so many people doing so many things that in the end, it's not going to just be the idea of your company and the execution, which is very important, but the people behind it. I think we're coming into a time where that is especially important. That will make you stand out because I think there's going to be so much of the same.
What do you mean?
I think that everyone has, I wouldn't say similar ideas. But you know what I mean? Like, I think if you're, including with AI coming out, right, in many ways, we're going to see a lot of the same thing coming from the ether of our ideation. And what changes it is execution, but also I believe the people behind it. How much do you feel connected to those people? How much do they care about this? You know, and that's where leadership is important, understanding who they are. And I think that's going to make consumers and people more connected to a brand and more loyal to it. That's what I personally think. And that comes with a pro and con because investors say that, but then the minute this person says something that's too personal or too this, it could be used against them.
For sure. And that's what's actually happening. And that's kind of the drawback.
I mean, look at some of the top companies now.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe in the past, We never knew who Mark Zuckerberg really was. Like, he started coming more forward. Now we see him doing his...
He's like kickboxing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Founders will become more accessible, right? And they need to be because we're going to need to know who's building the future, right? That's also important.
Right.
We want to make sure they're conscious individuals who care. And of course, respect, like, everyone's... There's a spectrum and not everyone needs to be the most personable, you know, endearing, charming person. It's not about that. It's about really sharing why you're doing what you're doing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens that, yes, it's through video. And not everyone is comfortable with video. And I totally respect that. And it's kind of about finding your thing. It could be audio, maybe sharing photos or quotes or captions, right? I do think, though, we are in a place where people will become more comfortable in video or learn to. It's going to be kind of part of the journey in the game. And part of that is not doing it as a performance, but kind of the Gary Vee model, just having people document what you're doing and being yourself. If you're scared of being yourself, maybe that's another question, something to work on. And that's real. It's
right.
Going to, I believe, force more, in many ways, self-reflection, more inner work, and more really being comfortable in your skin with who you are.
What's some sort of common sense advice for people who do not have 200,000 followers? How did they get started?
I always say finding that one thing that you're just really passionate about that you talk or read way too much on, right? Like, what's that one thing your friends are like, okay, here they go, you know? But that's the thing you should be talking about and bringing to the world. People want to see people who again, care and are enthusiastic about things and just know it really well. And so find that thing. And then I just think, turn the camera on and start going and realize, again, what you post the first day is going to be much different and probably more cringy than when you look back maybe a year later and you learn and iterate along the way. But you just need to get started and be consistent. That's basically it. And then, of course, don't copy, but be inspired, mm-hmm. right? Because when you just copy, you're not leaning into really who you are.
Any differences between the platforms like TikTok
versus... Yeah, and then you have to be aware of, I would say, the best practices, but what's working on each platform. And this is a bit of a challenge, I think, for a lot of people because it requires time and effort or money to hire the right people to do it, let's mm-hmm. be clear. It's easy to just have one video that you post everywhere. And I even do this, by the way, because it's low-hanging fruit. I wouldn't say it's the lazy way to do it, but it's the manageable way, right? But then you might have different things like I use the captions or different text on TikTok, and I use the music and this on, use the tools that are endemic to those platforms. But again, if you're really going to hunker down and do it properly, you might even have a different strategy, a different type of video for each platform. And then that changes all the time.
Well, I was going to say,
buckle up.
You always have to recalibrate.
And this is where if you can get a support or a group of peers, because you'll constantly be learning from each other, constantly collaborating. And if you can, even getting some assistant support of someone else so they can give you perspective as you're going. Because that's really helpful for me, because this space, it can be very lonely and overwhelming when you're constantly working alone, which is actually why I love the idea of AI when it comes to the creator economy. Because for me, I use AI as a sounding board, as an editor, as just another perspective. Like, how much can I constantly do on my own? I start questioning my own ideas. So, you know, I think that's where AI can help and support you.
Amazing. Well, Shira, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I've learned a lot.
I hope so.
And I've enjoyed talking with
you. No, I love talking to you. And yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for all the work you're doing at Inc. and always including me.
Oh, always.
That's all for today's episode of From the Ground Up.
Be sure to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice. Also, if you like this episode or have suggestions of what topics you'd like to hear about, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or reach out to us on Inc.'s social channels on LinkedIn, Instagram, and the app formerly known as Twitter.
From the Ground Up is produced by Julia Hsu, Blake Odom, and Avery Miles. Mix and sound design by Nicholas Torres. Our executive producer is Josh Christensen. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.